Well, thank you for having me today. My wife Melody and I met with your board last night, and we just had a little hangout time, and they asked me how long we had been married, and you know when you ask a guy that, typically we mess it up, and so I got the third degree last night, and I was corrected and understood that next week we will be celebrating 23 years of marriage. We are high school sweethearts, so thank you, thank you. So it's a good time to be here, but I did want to tell you graduates, congratulations. I'm sure your families are very proud of your accomplishment, and I wish you the best in the next chapter in life. This is their day, amen. It's not my day, it's their day, and we need to celebrate them. And oftentimes when I think about graduation, I think about time. For some reason, time comes to my mind, and the title of this message today is Don't Waste God's Time. I think that is such a valid thing that oftentimes we find ourselves doing and sometimes we don't even realize it. And when we think of time, time is something that quickly slips through our fingers and we can't get it. The saying goes, when you're having fun, time flies. Our time, self-wasting time, you know, as the saying goes, when you're having fun, time flies. And this is true in many areas of life. I know that I myself have been guilty of this, but I have friends who, when we graduated from high school, didn't know what they wanted to do, and they would go to college, and in the midst of college, they'd get out from college, and then they would take on a job somewhere, just to get things started and going, and they would tell themselves, this is just temporary until I find something better, right? And before they know it, 5 years have passed. And then 10, and next thing you know, retirement's right around the corner. And they wonder, where did the time go? I know we do this with our kids, graduates. I'm sure your parents can relate, remembering the first day they took you to kindergarten. And then that first day of middle school, and the first day you got on the bus, and now all of a sudden they're celebrating your graduation. It just seemed like the other day we were planning for our daughter's graduation party for high school, and literally 3 weeks ago she just graduated from college. So time flies, and sometimes if we're not aware of it, we as a church can waste God's time. Today is the day that we in the church call Pentecost Sunday, and that's the celebration of the time when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples while they were in the upper room. But I thought about that, and I thought about what must have been going through their mind. If you remember when Jesus ascends into heaven, an angel tells the disciples that he's going to return the same way he left. And I would imagine that as each day passed by and those disciples were in the upper room, they probably woke up every morning looking to the sky, wondering, would this be the day he comes back for us? They didn't know. And every night before they go to bed, they'd probably look to the sky again, wondering, will he be coming back? And we know Pentecost was weeks later. So weeks have passed by, and I got to wonder if any doubt began to creep in their minds as time began to pass and still no Jesus. And then when they receive the Holy Spirit, they come out of that upper room and they go out and they turn the world upside down. But still no Jesus. And today I want to share a passage with you, and it's going to be from 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter addresses this very situation. In 2 Peter, many years have passed. Not weeks, not days, not even months, but years have passed. When Peter's writing this letter to the people that are a part of the church here. And what he's addressing here is that the church is holding on to this hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. But it's been years. And still no Jesus. And so false teachers and rumor spreaders. You know any rumor spreaders? Don't raise your hand. Don't nudge the person beside you. Began to spread rumors through the church questioning this idea of Jesus Christ's return. starting these doubts to develop in their minds of, hey, you know, really, do you really think he's going to return? I mean, it's been years and he still hasn't come. And this church would have been facing persecutions and everything. So Peter writes to the church, and one of the things he does, he wants to give them some encouragement and address the doubters. And beginning in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, and I'm going to be reading the Passion Translation because I think it's eloquent on how it displays this here. It says this, Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, mockers will multiply, chasing after their evil desires. They will say, 'So what about the promise of his coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, yet everything is still the same as it was since from the beginning of time until now.' But they conveniently overlooked from the beginning, the heavens and the earth were created by God's word. He spoke and the dry ground separated from the waters. Then long afterward, he destroyed the world with a tremendous flood by those very waters. And now, by the same powerful word, the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for judgment when all the ungodly will perish." So what Peter's doing here is he's establishing this understanding that God is the God of His Word. When He says something, He means it and He does it. Then he goes on, "So dear friends, don't let this one thing escape your minds. A single day counts like a thousand years to the Lord Yahweh, and a thousand years counts as a day. This means that contrary to the man's perspective, the Lord is not late with the promise to return, as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience towards you, because he does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance." You know, Jesus made us a promise. He told his disciples, "I am going away. I am going to prepare a room for you. And then I am going to come back for you." Jesus don't make promises he don't keep. Amen. Jesus always keeps his promises. But this church, if you put yourself in their shoes, they were facing a lot of persecution in this newfound faith they have. Even the Jews were challenging them and questioning them and trying to disprove everything they had in faith, that salvation still had to be reserved for the law followers, and that you couldn't receive salvation by faith alone. And they were being persecuted, some of them were even being martyred. I think about the first martyr recorded in Scripture of Stephen, as other Christians were around and he was being stoned. How many of them might have been looking to the sky wondering, "Jesus, are you so much to come?" And this church, who was facing so much persecution and everything in their time, was longing for his return. And maybe you're here today longing for his return. Maybe you see the chaos that's going around us in our country. The disunity that our politics has created. A world pandemic. School shootings. The racial tension that exists in our country now. And you're just wondering, when are you coming back? But is that really what you want? Think about it. Many of us here have friends and families that don't know Christ. Is that really what you want? You see, many people have tried predicting His return. They waste time. I think it's so funny. You think about like the Mayan calendar. If you've heard of the Mayan calendar, the theory is that everything on the Mayan calendar, when the Mayans created this calendar, everything that they had on that calendar has come true, right? And then all of a sudden, this calendar stops on a date that apparently wasn't too long ago. And so it was believed that when that calendar date would end, the world was going to come to an end. There have been people, I remember when Y2K, if you were here when Y2K was a thing, I remember when Y2K came and everybody was paranoid that the internet was going to shut down, computer systems were going to close up, and the world was going to come to an end, and Jesus was coming back. Not too long ago, I was listening to a pastor on TV preaching a sermon, and in his sermon, he shared that he believes that Jesus Christ is coming back in his lifetime. And the ironic thing about that is this guy had to be in his 70s. I think about the time when Hitler was doing his little shenanigan. How many people were being persecuted then that were just wondering, is this it? Will Jesus be coming back now? There's so many people that try to predict his coming. But Jesus tells us it's not about calculation, it's about preparation. In Mark 13:32, here's what Jesus himself says. Concerning that day and exact hour, no one knows when it will arrive. Not the angels of heaven, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. This is why we must be waiting, watching, and praying. Because no one knows when that season of time will come. So what he's telling us, it's not about calculating when he's going to come. It's about being prepared for when he does come. It's preparation. And you know, we spend a lot of time preparing for big main events, don't we? Now you think about you graduates. How much time may you have spent trying to figure out what you're going to do in the next stage of life? If you're going to go off to college, because sometimes you spend years trying to figure out what college you want to go to. Years spinning out what you want to do, and it's an unfair pressure that's put on you. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? And you'll spend a lot of time and effort in planning for that. How many of us have gone out and bought a home and we'll spend a ton of time doing our research, going out and applying for the loan and getting all our things in order for that, and going out and searching different homes and stuff like that. Preparing for that big event of the purchase of a property. Or, if you're here today and you're married. I remember when Melody and I were getting married, I spent months planning out our wedding. I'm just kidding, it was her wedding. But, you put a lot of time in that. You know, I remember Melody would be sitting around the house making phone calls. We'd be sending out the guest list. And I was like, what do you want me to do, honey? And she's like, just show up. And obviously, I fulfilled my end of the bargain. But we can spend months planning that, even years. Or the arrival of a new baby. You know, we make the plans for it and we do the ultrasound. And some of us find out if it's a boy or a girl so we know what color to paint the baby's room and all this, and we make plans and everything. We start a college fund and everything for them and get all these plans set in place. And we spend so much effort in these big events, but are we putting as much effort in the main event for His return? And here's the good news I want to share with you. There's still time. As long as there is breath in your lungs, there is still time to be waiting, watching, and praying. Not just individually, but also helping others. Helping others find their way into a relationship with Christ and teaching them how to be waiting and watching and praying. How do we do this? By living obedient, morally alert lives. Holy and pleasing to Him. By reading His Word. A phrase I love is, we need to be getting into the Word so the Word can get into us. And you know, statistics are showing now that like 2.5 out of every 10 Christians confess they read their Bible every week. A quarter of the church is getting into His Word every week. A lot of Christians confess the only time they break the Scriptures open is on Sunday morning when the pastor's preaching. Jesus tells us it's our daily bread, but we're not daily getting into it like we should be. And if we want to make an impact in our world, we got to know the gospel. Amen. Another thing we do is praying daily. Praying daily. You know, we know every relationship breaks down when the communication is not good. One of the leading causes for divorce is poor communication. Poor communication in their finances and other areas of their marriage. Our relationship with God will break down if our communication isn't healthy. And then Scripture tells us, make the most of every opportunity to share. It does us no good to be a Christian that comes in on Sunday morning and sits in the pew. There are people out there that need to know Him. And we're plan A. There is no plan B. The church is plan A. So I want to encourage you, and I want to ask you this question, and I'm not going to take a lot of your time here. I'm going to make this a quick one. Well, let me ask you this. I want you to think about this. Think about it from the heart. And it's not a question I can answer for you. Only you can. God knows and you know. If He was to return today, are you ready? If He was to return today, have you done everything you could to help your neighbor be ready? Only you can answer that question. And graduates, today you've begun a new chapter in your life. But no matter what chapter we're in, whether it's graduating, whether it's pursuing college, or starting a new career, or maybe even retirement, no matter what stage of life you're in, the mission is still the same. To be waiting, watching, and praying, as well as helping others know how to wait and watch and prepare. I want to leave you with this benediction. In Mark 13, Jesus goes on to say this in verse 35. So I say to you, keep awake and alert. For you have no idea when the master of the house will return, in the evening, at midnight, at 4 o'clock in the morning, or at dawn. Be alert, for he comes suddenly and may find you sleeping. Church, His desire is that nobody should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. There is still time. And I want to challenge you. Somebody you know needs to know Jesus. You are plan A, and there may not be a plan B. Amen? Right. Father God, we thank You so much for Your Word. I just pray that, Lord, we are challenged. Not just challenged, but focused, Lord, on Your call and Your church. To be Your hands and feet, You've commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations. And I pray that every individual here, individually and corporately as a church, will make the most of every opportunity to share with those who cross our paths or the paths that we cross. That You will give us words to speak lives into the individuals that don't know You. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here today that don't know You, that they don't waste Your time. That they understand You love them unconditionally. And if You were to return today, they can be ready. Lord, I pray for this community of Kelloggsville and Ashtabula County. Lord, You placed this church in this specific spot for a reason. And I pray, Lord, that we just continue to follow Your guidance and Your will, that we can turn this community upside down for Your kingdom. Lord, I pray for every church that's gathering around this area this morning. I believe there's probably lost folks that have walked into the church services this morning. And Lord, may this be the day that changes their life for eternity. As we part ways here and we get ready to go out here and enjoy some fellowship and a meal, Lord, we ask your blessing over the food and you bless our fellowship, our time together, and encourage and guide our hearts, Lord, in this name. Next day's coming on what your will may be for all of us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.